In the scripture reading that we had, which is from 2 Samuel chapter 6, and starting with verse 1, David had a strong desire, one that he held for a long time, that he wanted to bring the Ark of God, the very symbol of God's presence, into his capital city. And so, with great fanfare and a lot of witnesses, the ark was placed on a cart and led from his current site to go towards the city of Jerusalem. But something odd happened on the way to the capital. The oxen stumbled, nearly upsetting the cart, and the ark began to tilt. Now, there's very easy to overlook this one small significant factor. The ark stumbled on a threshing floor. Now, to thresh out wheat, what you do is you have a spot where you put the oxen, and you put this big sled with lots of heavy weights on it, and you scatter your wheat around. And then the oxen drags that sled around, and it crushes the wheat. You do that for 50, 60, 100 years. What do you think happens to the area where you're crushing out the wheat? It gets very hard packed. It's very flat. Of all the places where the oxen stumbled, was on the flattest surface on the way to Jerusalem. So on an almost level, smooth part of the trip, that is when the oxen stumbled. Now Uzzah was leading the ox along with another man. And he sees what he thinks is the ark of the God about to fall. And so he reaches out to steady it. And God killed him for his attempt. So today what I'd like us to consider, as was mentioned before, is why did Uzzah have to die? Because it's very apparent Uzzah's intentions were good. But the recording of this event, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. There's something here for us to learn. And we've been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but I want you to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. If we fail to understand why Uzzah died, then we're going to fail in our own attempts at worshiping God and serving God. Now, as we examine God's instructions for the care of his tabernacle and for the care of the ark, what we find is that David and his people were very careless. Because God gives very explicit, specific instructions on how the ark was to be transported from one location to another. In Exodus chapter 37, Exodus 37, and in verse 5, it says, he shall put poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The ark had rings on each corner, on the sides of it, such that you can slide poles through that. Those poles then went up on priest's shoulders, And that was how the ark was intended to be carried from one place to another. The ark was also to be covered. Take a look at Numbers chapter 4 and in verse 5. When the camp sets out, Aaron and his son shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it. And they shall lay a covering of porpoise skin on it and spread it over with a cloth of pure blue and shall insert its poles. So prior to transporting it, that veil that separated the ark from the rest of the tabernacle, that was taken down, that was used to cover up the ark. And then another covering was put on top of that. Poles were put in place on it, and then the ark was transported. Therefore, no one could actually see the ark, not directly. And only certain families were allowed to carry it. Not anybody could carry it. Take a look at verse 15 of Numbers 4. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishing of the sanctuary, when the camp is set out, after the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things which in the tent of meetings which the sons of Kohath are to carry. Notice they cannot touch the holy things. The priests get it all set up, ready for carrying. They just come in and grab the poles and carry it. They can't touch the objects themselves. And it says very specifically, if you touch them, they would die. Now, not long before that, an event happened that basically kind of explains how the Israelites got this idea they could change things. The Philistines had captured the ark because the people thought they could force God to battle for them by bringing God into the battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and starting with verse 3, when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies." We're being killed by these Philistines. We need extra help. I don't know why God won't help us, but hey, we're going to take God out into battle and then he'll help us, right? So in verse 10, so the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent, and the slaughter was very great, for there fell of the Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. The priests that were carrying the ark got killed. The Philistines actually captured the ark. Now, while God allowed the Philistines to take the ark, they soon learned they held a very dangerous thing. Their idol God, every morning, kept falling down before the ark, like it was bowing before it, flat on his face. It got to the point where one day they found it and the head was off. And then there were plagues, tumors, and mice. Wherever the ark was carried, cancer just broke out. Tumors broke out. Mice plagued everything. After a while, the Philistines decided, you know what? We don't want this ark anymore. So they put the ark on a cart. In fact, that's how they decide, well, we'll figure out if this is really some God behind it. We'll put this ark on the cart. We'll take two cows that just had calves. We'll set the calves off the side. Of course, mother cows want to be with their calves. We'll put them leading the ark, and we'll put the ark on there. We'll put some golden golden tumors and golden rats. They made little offerings for the god, and they put it on the cart. And strangely enough, instead of the cows wanting to go to their calves, they just start taking off to Israel. And they just moved all the way, and it went straight to Israel. And it's probably that event that gave the Israelites the idea, well, hey, the Philistines were able to do it. We can carry the ark on a cart. God allowed it, after all. And so David and the people knew what God had commanded. They knew about what was said in the Old Testament. But they ignored it. Their intentions were good. They wanted the symbol of God's presence in David's city. The people came out in mass to honor God. And Uzzah just was trying to keep the ark from tipping over. You see, there's a lot of people who feel that their intentions, the things that the thoughts in their heart, will justify them before God. It doesn't matter if they observe God's law or not. God knows my heart, is usually the phrase that goes. God knows what I'm intending. So it doesn't matter to them if they observe God's law or not. In fact, it seems like a lot of people don't even bother to learn God's law, because they believe that God knows the heart of man and that he will pardon them for any faults that they may have, so long as their intentions are good. There's just a flaw in that reasoning, a severe flaw. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Here's the biggest flaw. How many people actually think they're doing wrong? See, that's where the flaw comes in. Most people look at what they do and decide, well, because I'm choosing to do it, therefore I must be right. And down in Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. See, we're so short-sighted as a people that we don't often look to where things really go. And so a lot of people look at what they're wanting to do and they say, hey, this looks good. And it feels good to me. And they never consider about the consequences thereof. And so man can always find reasons to justify himself. In Proverbs 21 and in verse 2, it says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. David and the people were definitely sincere in their efforts. Now, perhaps you've heard some people say, well, God is too good to condemn anyone. As long as my intentions are good, everything will work out in the long run. It doesn't matter how you worship God, so long as you are sincere. But you know, God demands obedience. Again in Proverbs 21, look at verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Is not the doing as much as doing what God says. It's the righteousness. Samuel had that discussion with King Saul earlier. Saul kept innovating. Saul kept trying to do things his own way. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, And in verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." It's God who commands the sacrifices, don't get me wrong. But you don't put the sacrifices ahead of obeying all the other commands as well. In fact, Micah, one of those little books down at the end of the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, and starting with verse 6, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." It doesn't matter how many sacrifices you give. It doesn't matter how many times you sit in this pew or come to church. Does God want us here? The answer is yes. Is that the whole of it? The answer is no. Not by a long shot. And all your coming here doesn't make up for any disobedience. That's the point that's trying to be brought about in the Old Testament. Take a look at Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6 and in verse 6. "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." When it really comes down to it, what God values most is obedience. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7 and in verse 21. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you will walk in all the ways which I command you, and it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels, and in the stubbornness of their evil heart went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, and they did more evil than their fathers." God pointed out, hey, you know, way back in the days when I first sent Israel out of Egypt and across that Red Sea, I didn't go through all the sacrifices and tell them what they needed to do to sacrifice. The first thing I told them was, obey my voice. That was the command he told them. Now, yes, later on he talked about sacrifices and things like that. But the first thing he told them was, obey me. And you know what? They didn't. From the time they left, that's what we've been talking about on Sunday night. From the time they left, and Jeremiah says, all the way to this day, they haven't been obeying me. In fact, it's been getting progressively worse to the point where at the days of Jeremiah, it was bad. It was horrible. See, God told the people to offer sacrifices, and they thought sacrifices were the most important thing. I suspect because you can see them. And as long as they got that done, it didn't matter what else they got done, if much of else. And people do the same thing today. See, there's a number of religions out there that allow their members to act any way they please, so long as they come in and do the confessions and do penances periodically. That doesn't really matter what you do. And unfortunately, there's a lot of members of the church that act in a similar fashion. As long as they come to church on Sunday, well, it doesn't matter what else you do during the week. I hear about it. I get people telling me things every once in a while. It's like there's one face for Sunday and there's a different face for Monday through Saturday. But listen to what God wanted of the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them as when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. How important were God's commands? It was supposed to be part of daily, everyday conversation. Topics that we talk about. Things that you see. Reminders on the walls. And down in verse 17, it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimony, and his statutes which he commanded you. Down in verse 24, so the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes. The fear of the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is to this day. God wants worship in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and verse 23, but an hour is coming and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It takes two aspects to worship God. You have to have the sincerity and the obedience to be acceptable to God. Well, that means you have to have the truth, which means then you can't change God's word. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Everything we do has to be by God's authority. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17, it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Everything we do, whatever we talk, whatever we do, has to be with the approval and authority of our Lord. One of my favorite passages is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God gets the praise because all I'm doing is what God said. Uzzah died because he touched the ark of God. As simple as that. God said, don't, or you'll die. Uzzah touched it. He died. But he wasn't the only one who was punished. You know, David was in front of 30,000 people and saw the anger of God. And David got mad. I don't think he was really mad at God. I think he was mad at himself. Because David's carelessness led to a man needlessly dying. It's interesting, though. David learned his lesson. Take a look at 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, and starting with verse 1. Now David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one's to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever. When he got around to doing the second time, he said, we're going to do it God's way. No one's going to do this but the Levites. Down at verse 12, David said to them, you are the heads of the father's households of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. And so the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. The sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. What did David learn? You don't do it any other way but what God said. Notice David's admission. We did not consult God about the proper order. They did it in a manner that seemed right to them, but they didn't check to see if God approved. David ended up being mad that God killed Uzzah, but he learned that he was basically the only one to blame. So we can't approach the worship of God haphazardly. Our sloppiness could cause the destruction of other people. Our laziness could keep somebody out of heaven. And ignorance of the law is no excuse before God. Because we're still subject to his will. And we're God's people. We ought to know God's will. So learn to serve God in the ways that he has taught us. That is the lesson that Uzzah teaches us. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like to pray to the brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward with me, stand and sing the song that was selected.